Morning. All right, we're getting ready for Monday Manna Bible study. Come on in. Are you ready to get started? All right.
Well, I believe we're about set, Lady Kim. This is another Monday night, another blessed day, another beautiful day outside today on this spring day. And we praise God for his keeping power. The Bible reminds us in Psalms, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And so we're here tonight for this Bible study session. We hope and pray that even as you're coming on, that you're expecting God to do something in your situation. I believe God has a special blessing in store tonight
Amen.
as we go through this study. And I think you mentioned yesterday that it was chapter 25, but really we're in
It's
chapter 30.
30.
And so hopefully those who heard that yesterday, just like I said, it was 200 boxes, but it's really a hundred and about 120 or something like that. But we could have very easily met that goal, but we didn't want to, feel as if we were trying to take over the project. But we praise God for each of you tonight, and we're looking forward to this study. We're going to be in the book of Genesis, the 30th chapter. And we're going to try to cover this 30th chapter is rich, and the 31st chapter is rich as well.
Yeah, it's pretty
And
long, pretty in depth.
and so it's going to take us a minute. So we might, I believe we can get through those two. And if the time gives us, permits us to go to 32, 33, well, 32, 33. You think we can get to 33 tonight?
I don't know.
Huh? You don't think we could do it, Lady Kim?
Probably 31 and 32. I mean 30 and 31.
All right. Okay. What's it? I'm confused now. Which one?
30 and 31.
Okay. 30, 31, and to 33. Right. We're gonna try to get to 33.
We'll try.
But it's gonna be kind of hard to do that tonight. There are only 50 chapters in Genesis. Is that right?
Yes.
And so we're over halfway there. And so we hope that you have been studying ahead of time and reading and preparing. But let's go ahead and prepare to jump in, Lady Kim. It's 6 o'clock, 6:01, and let us know the sound is good and that you can hear us and that everything is going according to plan as we prepare to have prayer, and then we're going to jump right in. Is that right? Okay. All right. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you. We thank you for this day and thank you for our lives. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, God, we pray that you will give us what we need as we study your word. Then, God, that you will order our steps and lead us in the way in which you would have us to go. You've already decreed that your word would not return unto you void. So we know that it's going to accomplish exactly what you have intended for it to accomplish.
Yes.
So now, God, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise
Amen.
God. All right. Lady Kim, you're going to give us a little update on what happened in our worship experience yesterday. It was Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday,
Yeah.
yes.
All
And you
right.
preach from the Palm Sunday text
Okay.
that many of us are familiar with. But your title for yesterday was I've Got a Right to Praise Him.
I've got a right to praise
I've
him.
got a right to praise Him.
Okay.
And so the scripture was from Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 37 through 40, when Jesus was drawing near to descending from the Mount of Olives, and a whole multitude began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice.
Okay.
And they were praising him for the mighty works that he had done.
That's right.
And he was riding on a donkey, and they were saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called from the crowd and told them, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They were telling them, "Make your folks, be quiet.
Calm them down.
You know. But he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should keep silent,
what?
The stones would immediately
cry out.
The rocks would cry out.
My. So it's interesting, Lady Kim, that passage really has a lot of meat on it. You can take that passage and use it in many different ways. But I focused in on, as the Lord was leading me, to talk about that whole praise aspect and how the Pharisees were trying to quiet the crowd and trying to keep them from giving God praise. Not only did I say we have a right to praise him, but we have a reason. And then you added another point, even during the sermon, we have a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what we were trying to make sure that people understood, that when we look back, just as the disciples did, as they were aligned on the parade route, they began to reflect back in their minds what God had done for them.
Right.
And
right.
That's one of the reasons right there to give God praise, when we have a reflection of his glory and his goodness, when we have a reflection of his goodness, really.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because he's been extremely good and extremely kind to us.
Yes, and that was your first point. You know, we have a reason to give God praise when we reflect on the goodness of God.
Right.
We can't help but give him praise.
That's right.
God has been abundantly good. And in this particular text, when the disciples look back over all the things that Jesus had done, over all the miracles he had performed, over all the people he had fed and people he had healed, and you know, just amazing things that had never been seen before. You know, they just reflected on his goodness. And once you reflect on God's goodness, oh my God, you have to give him praise.
You gotta give him praise.
All I want to do is ask the question today is, what has God done for you?
Wow.
I don't know about you, but I gotta give him praise because he has kept us during this pandemic.
That's right.
He's kept us during this pandemic. So I give him praise for that alone, for waking me up this morning and for keeping us through the pandemic. Amen.
All right.
And the second point is that it's a refreshing of his grace.
Mm-hmm.
Refreshing of his grace. We're reminded of God's grace daily because he doesn't have to bless us.
That's right.
He doesn't have to wake us up. He doesn't have to provide for us. He doesn't have to, you know, keep our bodies healthy, but he does. And so his grace is refreshing every day. And then a reacquaintance of his glory. God's glory overshadows everything.
Everything. That's powerful, because I think all of those points really tied in together, and you can really just get caught up, because you start thinking about all that God has done, then it causes you to really re-examine who you are and who he is. And you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you didn't make it by yourself. Mm-hmm. It was nobody but God.
And
many times we get to the point of thinking that we've done it in and of ourselves. But can I remind somebody tonight that we are nothing without God, and that in him we live, move, and have our being. And so we have a right, we have a reason, and we have a responsibility to give him praise.
Amen.
Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
Amen. That's right. Sister Juanita said, yes, Lord, he has been so good to me.
That's right.
Just can't keep it to myself. Oh, yes. And just like you said yesterday, if we start to think, then we start to thank.
That's right.
If we think of the goodness of Jesus, we can thank him, give him thanks and praise as his glory shines down around us.
That's it. And so a powerful reminder, and because this week really, Palm Sunday helped to initiate what we are celebrating and what we participate in as Holy Week. And this is the Monday as we prepare to reflect and to remember, and then just to reacquaint ourselves with all that happened, that we might have an opportunity to the tree of life. Jesus was on his way to Calvary, but he took time out to just refresh the disciples. And he paused even on the parade route, to remind them about the importance and the significance of praise. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't praise him, as you said, the very rocks will cry out. And oftentimes people will say, I ain't gonna let no rocks cry out for me. I'll praise him right now. I believe I'll praise him while I have a chance. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And so we don't need, God's gonna get his praise. And I want him to use me, and I want to be an instrument and a vehicle by which I be an exhibitor, because he inhabits the praise of his people.
Absolutely.
And when you praise him, he shows up in the middle of whatever it is you're going through. He'll walk with you, he'll talk with you, and he'll tell you that you are his own. And the joy we share, oh God, I hear something, I feel something,
as we tarry there, none
other has ever known. That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right, we could spend the rest of this hour talking about that, but we're going to move on. But this is the Monday of Holy Week, Lady Kim, and we're preparing for Good Friday. We're in the midst of our 20-day fast, and so we're anticipating great things happening on Friday. Tell us a little bit about what we can expect for Friday, Good Friday.
Well, Good Friday, we have a powerful lineup of speakers that are going to come before you at 12 o'clock noon.
Okay.
So make sure you click, tag, and share the service. It is a virtual service. It's a virtual service. But we still need you to participate in your offering as you view on Friday. Of course, we... have speakers that we need to take care of.
Okay.
So we just thank God for the speakers, Pastor Mary Moore, Psalmist Nate, Minister Tierra Baker, First Lady Lashana Lee, Dr. Karen Todd, and First Lady Alicia Norman will be with us. I think I got them all.
I believe you did.
Okay.
Did you say Mary Moore?
Yes.
Okay.
She was first.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I tried to.
Were you counting on your finger?
I was.
I believe we got
I
them.
Was like,
And
yes.
It's going to be powerful, and I know it's going to be awesome. Each year we have a powerful Seven Last Words service. That is in the past been one of our most productive services, where we invite people in and it's all women preaching. And I look forward to it every Good Friday. This is over what? Has it been 15 years?
Probably so.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little more than that.
Yeah, yeah. And so we look forward and we're anticipating a powerful service on Friday, and then of course Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, this coming Sunday, and we're looking forward to that as well. Amen. All right, well, let's jump into this 30th chapter. For those of you joining us for the first time, basically we just give a little recap of what happened on yesterday, and just a refresher for those of you who did not get a chance to be a part of our worship experience. All of that information can be found on our website, www.anointedtemple.org. And we're certainly grateful for your continued support and participation and being a part of those virtual services. And we're going to make an announcement here real soon, Lady Kim, about when we return in-house for worship. But I was just kind of keying in on some of the things that's happening. People are getting their shots, but some people are still reckless and they're still not doing everything that they should do. And some people are still skeptical about getting their vaccine. But we do want to encourage particularly the members of ATOP to make sure you go ahead and follow the process and get everything in order. Because I believe that before too long, not too long from now, we're going to be starting to come back in-house for worship. But we want to make sure that you come into a safe environment and that we're going to do all the necessary things we can to make you feel comfortable in that environment. And so you need to do the same as you prepare to get ready to come back. Isn't
Amen.
That right?
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this 30th chapter of Genesis, and we're not going to go verse by verse, but we're going to just do a recap of the chapter as well. Maybe give you a focus and then talk a little bit about some of the things that's happening. But this whole 30th chapter really is a continuation of what we've already experienced leading up to the 30th chapter, from continuation from chapter 29. But what do you see happening here in this 30th chapter, as you would give it a theme or a focus, Lady Kim?
Well, I think the overall subtitle would be The Great Reversal.
Okay.
From barrenness to blessing.
From what?
Barrenness to blessing.
From barrenness to blessing?
Barrenness to blessing.
Wow,
yes,
that's
yes.
good. That sounds like a sermon title,
doesn't
it?
It does.
From barrenness to blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The focus is on being left behind, but still seeing God use the least likely to accomplish his will.
Okay.
People can be left behind, but still see God acting in an unexpected moment, using the least likely and the least powerful to accomplish his will. God blessed the one who was unloved or unlovely. Remember Leah? We mm-hmm. talked about Leah.
Yeah. What do you remember about Leah?
Well, Leah was the least attractive of Laban's daughters.
Okay.
She was the oldest of Laban's daughters. But Jacob loved her sister Rachel, her mm-hmm. younger sister Rachel,
right.
who was described in the Old Testament as a good looking gal.
Okay. Beautiful.
A beautiful young lady. And he wanted to marry her.
Okay.
And Laban tricked him
on
the night of to consummate their marriage. They slipped Leah in instead of Rachel. And so he consummated the relationship.
You're being very politically correct with
Absolutely.
Your words. Okay. I'm just trying to follow you. They slipped her in. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So, yes, her dad slipped her in there. And so he consummated the relationship with Leah. And so he still wanted Rachel, and he wanted to marry Rachel so badly that he promised Laban that he would work for another seven years. Well, he had to work for 7 years
to get Rachel.
But instead, Dad tricked him, mm-hmm. and he consummated the relationship with Leah.
Added another 7 years.
So in order to get Rachel, now he has to work for Laban another 7 years.
Wow.
So he did complete his time or his term of working of servitude.
Uh-huh.
And he was able to marry Rachel. But, you know, he loved Rachel more than he loved Leah.
Okay.
And so Leah was not only unlovely or not pretty, but she was unloved by her husband. More than that, the result was a competition between Leah and Rachel, the two sisters, with Rachel not remembering that just as God had provided to Sarah and Rebecca, he might eventually provide a child for her. And we're going to talk about that because as a result, Rachel was barren. But Leah was able, you know, Leah was the unattractive one, was able to bear children, while Rachel, the attractive one, was not.
So you were saying earlier that God blesses the one who is unlovely or unloved.
Right.
And as a result of the barrenness, where it talks about even in your subtitle, this is a part of what Leah was able to experience. Rachel was barren, but Leah received the blessing with by God allowing her to bear the children mm-hmm. and her sister, even after they had Jacob had finished working the time that he had promised his father-in-law he would. He still married Rachel.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's correct.
But the majority of his kids came from Leah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That's correct.
At least nine?
Several of them. And mm-hmm. I didn't even count them.
Okay.
But, and we're going to see that not only Leah, but Leah's handmaiden, you know, mm-hmm. and Rachel's handmaiden. So we're going to get into all of that. But, you know, the result was a competition between Leah and Rachel, the two sisters,
mm-hmm.
with Rachel not remembering that just as God had provided to Sarah and Rebecca, he might eventually provide a child for her.
Okay.
Rachel used her maiden, Bilhah, as a surrogate mother, instructing her husband, Jacob, to sleep with Bilhah, who gave birth to Dan and Naphtali, whom Rachel claimed as her own. And Leah, who already had four children with Jacob, in competition again with her sister, gave her maid Zilpah to Jacob, with Zilpah bearing Gad and Asher. Leah had two more children by Jacob, Issachar and Zebulun. God remembers Rachel, and Joseph was born.
Wow. So let's back up, and I know you're kind of just helping us get an understanding of the focus for this particular chapter, but we see some of the same things that happened in the past.
Repeating
itself mm-hmm. as a result of the trickery and deception, mm-hmm. and then we see God intervening, and we see that even though Rachel was not able to conceive, and she was, in fact, should have been the daughter of promise. You follow
okay.
what I'm saying?
Yes.
And
right.
so, but just as God did with Sarah, so he did with Rebecca,
mm-hmm.
and was able to establish the son that would become even more prominent, perhaps, than all of the sons. And after all of the waiting and all of the anticipation of them, of her becoming pregnant, God still, in spite of the all of the things, the trickery, the foolery, the deception that had happened, God still allowed her to bear that son that he had promised Jacob for him to have, and even though Jacob had already had some other sons by his other wife, Leah. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
So Rachel had Joseph, and we all know who Joseph was.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the barren was blessed,
okay,
right?
Right?
Rachel was blessed with a son. Jacob negotiated his exit from Laban, his father-in-law, and Laban was also his uncle,
mm-hmm.
the schemer and cheat who tried to cheat Jacob out of what he had earned in order to force him to stay. Jacob, trusting God, out-schemed Laban with the story of the striped and spotted goats. God blessed the bearer, Jacob, of the promise, and he grew exceedingly rich. God often used this least likely and least powerful to accomplish his will.
Okay. So how would we help people understand that what we just shared in a way that they can make it live for them today? What would you say would be a good analogy? So I'm putting you on the spot. You got kind of quiet.
Well, I have to think. I'm trying to think of a good analogy.
Well, you know, because a lot of times I think what we believe God and what God has promised us to take place in our lives, oftentimes it takes more time than we may have expected,
mm-hmm.
or many times we have to go through a process that leads us to genuinely appreciating what God is doing in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the enemy gets busy in that whole process and causes deception and confusion and tries to throw off or derail the plan of God. But God eventually wins out in the end, and we have to be patient and we have to wait on God, and we can't get ahead of God.
Right.
Because when we do, we mess up the plan that God has already put in place. But even though we mess it up and we falter and we fall short, God's will be done in the situation. And many times we suffer a great deal, and we have to deal with the consequences of what we have put in place because of our failure to be obedient to God.
Right. A lot of times we try to help God out,
mm-hmm.
as we say, just like Rachel tried to help God out
right.
by telling Jacob to sleep with her handmaiden Bilhah.
Mm-hmm.
And Bilhah had children, but Rachel was still barren.
Right.
But you know, she wasn't denied a child. Her child was just delayed.
Delayed.
And sometimes our dreams are not denied, they're delayed. And in the process, we want to get ahead of God and try to help God out.
That's it. That's it.
And so we need to be patient and wait on God. And sometimes they say, well, God, how long? You know, how long do I have to wait? Well, we know how long Abraham waited before Sarah got pregnant with the seed of promise,
right,
you know.
Right.
And we know, like you said, that history was repeating itself because Sarah said, take my handmaid Hagar and have a child with her so that this promise can be fulfilled. But from Hagar and Abraham, Ishmael was born,
mm-hmm.
but Ishmael was not the seed of promise.
Mm-hmm. He was the firstborn, but not the born of promise. He was not
the seed of promise.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I just want to try to make it live for people as they wrestle with waiting on God and trying to understand. Many times God is trying to get something done in us in order for us to truly appreciate. And just because God has given us a promise or God has spoken something into our lives, we have to make sure that we're aware of the tricks of the enemy. And the Bible tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And so the enemy's job, once he sees that God is trying to bless us, he will come in and try to deceive, to try to trap, try to destroy, and try to snatch that out of our hand and out of our spirit so that we won't walk in a complete fullness of God's promises.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So that's the word for somebody tonight, Lady Kim.
Yes.
All right. But this 30th chapter, I mean, a whole lot was happening, and we pretty much covered most of it. Anything particularly you want to just lift out of those pages, out of those verses, because they're about, 40-some verses there?
Yeah, I think it's important that we kind of talk a little bit about Jacob and Laban's relationship, because Rachel had, after Rachel had Joseph, you know, then Jacob told Laban that he wanted to go back home.
Okay, well, stop right there, because we know that Jacob left the promised land and went back to his kinfolk
mm-hmm.
in order that he might find a wife so that he would continue to be a part of the promise that had been given to Abraham.
Right.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's been there now for some time. We know it's well over 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a praise report I see, Lady Kim, from Angela?
Yes, it is.
What does it say?
Hallelujah. God
Glory.
Is
hey.
Good. No cancer for Andre.
What?
Wonderful.
That's great.
He had his procedure today.
That's great news.
Awesome news. Giving God praise.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
That's all the way up in Michigan. And
yeah,
we have been
Lord.
Praying and we've interceding even yesterday and believing
yes.
God. And we know that that was an anxious time for Andre and Angela, but we praise God that he's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Thank
and so
you, God.
That's a powerful testimony and a praise report early on in this particular
Hallelujah.
Time together, and we're excited about that. We were waiting to hear the news, but that's right on time. Amen and praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I forgot what we were at now.
We're
so
talking
excited.
About Laban's, Jacob wanting to go
back
home.
Yeah, so he was ready to go back home now, right?
Yes.
So
and we remember
there.
Why he ran away in the first
right,
place.
Right, right.
He ran away from his brother Esau because
right.
he had stolen his brother's blessing and the
Birthright. That's right.
He
That's
had
right.
stolen the, well, gained the blessing and the birthright
right.
deceptively.
Deceptively.
And so his brother was so angry with him, Esau, he was going to kill
He's
Jacob.
He's going to kill him. That's
and
right.
so their mother, Rebecca, overheard that Esau was going to kill his brother.
Told him to leave.
And told him to leave and go and find a wife.
Okay.
In his, at her brother's place,
right?
His uncle's place, and that's how Jacob ended up with Laban. But remember, Laban was a trickster too.
That's right.
You know, so just as Jacob was a trickster, he went to the master trickster,
right?
You know,
right.
And he was tricked. We talked about it at the beginning of Bible study, for working 7 years to get Rachel, and then they slipped Leah in. Then he worked another 7 years to get marry Rachel. And now he's ready to go back home after he has two wives, several concubines, a whole lot of chillin'.
Chillin'.
A whole lot of chillin'. Chirins.
Children's.
A whole lot of chirins. So now Jacob is ready to go back
Laban's
home.
Laban's still not, he's still trying to trick him, isn't he? He's
yes,
still
he
not
is. Because Laban doesn't want him to leave.
Because why do you think he doesn't want him to leave?
Well, he's a hard worker for one thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And look at it, if you will, around verse 27. And I think that'll be worthy of just kind of sharing. I was reading that earlier. Laban made a very powerful statement, as well as Jacob. In that 30th chapter, around verse number 27, if you could pull that up, Lady Kim, and it'll kind of give a little bit more clarity to what we are sharing and where we are right now in this particular portion.
Okay. All right. It says, "But Laban said to him, 'If I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. Mm-hmm. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you.'"
Okay, So Laban begins to understand that during the time while Jacob was there, he was getting blessed mm-hmm. and triple blessed in mm-hmm. abundance. Mm-hmm. And he said by divination or by vision or by a dream or by God speaking to him, mm-hmm. God reminded Laban that everything that you have, and Jacob was clearly aware of it, that it was because of his presence there mm-hmm. that God had showered him with so many blessings. And as a result of that, Laban didn't want him to leave. He said, "No, let's keep this ball rolling.
Yeah,
I mean, let's stay right where you are. I mean, I'm getting super blessed. I'm more blessed in abundance."
Yeah, he was prospering.
Rich.
Yes.
Yeah, he was prospering.
Laban was prospering. So he asked Jacob not to leave. Mm-hmm. So Laban asked Jacob what wages he wanted.
Right.
And Jacob asked Laban to do one thing for him, and he would go back to work for him. So Jacob told Laban to let him go out among the flock that day and remove all the goats that were speckled and spotted mm-hmm. and all the black sheep, giving them to him as his wages. So Jacob wanted all the little freckle face and spotted and striped and, you know.
Now, you know what that was all about, right? Those were considered to be the weaklings
okay.
of the herd or the flock.
Yeah, and they weren't pure.
They weren't pure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was even in Jesus' time that when they were going to the temple mm-hmm. to present their offerings,
yes.
they had to present an offering that was without
spot or wrinkle.
And so
yes.
what Laban decided he was going to do with Jacob, well, you go out there and get all the weaklings, and you get the spotted ones, and you get the striped ones.
Well, actually, Jacob chose those himself.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
He said, "I'll take all the weak-looking ones, all the spotted and speckled ones."
Right.
You know, and Jacob told Laban that if he found any white goats or sheep in his flock, he would know that he had stolen them from him.
Right.
So there was a clear indication that there could be no thievery of the flock. He said, "Nah, I can't take your sheep mm-hmm. because all your sheep are gonna be white.
Right.
All of
right.
mine gonna have some kind of spots or stripes
That's
or
right.
freckles
right.
or you know, imperfections."
Right.
And so Laban formed a flock for Jacob of all the male goats that were ringed and spotted, and the females that were speckled or spotted with any white patches, and all the black sheep, giving them to Jacob's sons.
Okay.
And so Laban set on a journey between Jacob and himself to take 3 days' distance with Jacob, staying and caring for Laban's flocks. So, you know, Jacob stayed around
mm-hmm.
and cared for that flock.
Right.
And, you know, it talked about him, Jacob placing a rod between the watering troughs so that Laban's flocks would see them when they came to drink, which is when they made it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob had taken the fresh shoots from poplar and almond and sycamore trees and peeled them white, and they had white streaks in them. And the flocks mated and conceived, and before the white streaked rods and brought forth offspring that were streaked and spotted. So that's an interesting story right there, that as he, you know, laid those shoots, fresh shoots down there, and when they made it, how they came out spotted and speckled and striped and streaked, you know. Jacob added those to his flock, and he divided out the ewes and the lambs, the ones that had the circles and the stripes and the rings and the freckles and all.
Isn't that interesting?
Uh-huh. And the white-faced flocks were directed towards, you know, all the other flock for Laban.
Right, right.
You know,
right,
and just like you said, you know, Jacob would only let those mate with Laban's brown rams, building his own flock.
That's right. That's
from
right.
Laban's flock.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Jacob had a mating scheme going
right,
on.
Right.
You know,
right,
how he could make them, you know, speckled and spotted and black, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember that Laban had all the white sheep and all the black sheep.
That's
so,
right.
You know, but Jacob had the spotted and speckled and circled, but when they weren't looking, you know, he
put this rod down.
He put the rod down, but then he made it his sheep, his little speckled sheep with them little black sheep and them little brown sheep.
Right.
And so the offspring came out spotted and speckled and circled and whatever.
Right, right.
You know, but he didn't do it with the weak ones.
Right.
You know. So that the healthy lambs were Laban's lambs, but the stronger ones were Jacob's.
That's right. So, you know, even though Laban, he's coming up with a scheme, Jacob is also coming up with another scheme in order to overcome. And I think part of what brings this about is the time that he spent working with the sheep and getting an understanding of the sheep and knowing what to anticipate, because he came up with a scheme that worked for him, and he came up with that scheme because he had spent time with them and he knew exactly how that was going to come to pass.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So in the end, as this chapter comes to a close, Jacob's flock increased rapidly, and Jacob became very wealthy. He had a lot of servants, a lot of camels, and a lot of donkeys. So, you know, Jacob, before he left, he was able to, you know, build some wealth.
That's
before
right.
he left.
That's right. And this is powerful. We're in the 30th chapter of Genesis, and there's Brother Andre on the call. He's giving God the praise. And we talked about praise yesterday, Brother Andre, on the broadcast. During the worship experience, and how important it is for us to give praise, because we have a reason, we have a right, and we have a responsibility. And when we look back and think of all that God has done for us, and I tell you, you don't have to look very far, because it was nobody but God who made a way for you, and we praise God with you, and we're rejoicing even tonight. Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
Amen, amen.
So as we close out this 30th chapter, what would you say would be a good handle we could maybe hold on to that lead us into this 31st chapter?
That we need to watch God act in an unexpected moment.
Wow.
You know, a lot of times when we're faced with difficulties, all we see is that difficulty.
That's
and
right.
we don't
That's
have
right.
any expectation or anticipation of what God can do in that, you know. But we need, when we face difficulties, expect God to move on our behalf.
Okay.
Expect God to do something. Even if you say, God, I don't know what it is you're going to do. I know you're going to do something.
I know you're going to do something.
And it's going to be for my good.
My. So we have to expect the unexpected.
That's right.
We have to trust God even when we can't trace it.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
And we've got to believe that if God said he's going to perform a thing, that it shall come to pass, and his promises are sure, and the satisfaction is guaranteed. He's not like man that he should lie. And so we have to trust God in the midst of the fire, as Andre said, even when we're going through, it looks like we're not going to come out. But if we just hold on to God's hand, he has a plan in mind.
Would yes, you agree? He does have a plan. And his plan is not to harm us.
That's right. That's
but
right.
But to prosper us and give us a good end.
A good end.
Yes, a That's good right. future.
That's right.
Yeah, if we only trust in him. And you know, it's not only trusting, but we have to obey God.
We got to obey.
So trust and obey, for there's no other way.
Watch it.
To I be happy in Jesus.
But to trust and obey.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
I love those Glory old God. Songs. That's they right. had substance to them, don't y'all?
They take you back
yep.
to.
Yep. Let's go on to the 31st chapter.
All right.
And, you know, the theme or the overall theme for the 31st chapter is the power of God over powerless gods.
Say that again.
The power of God over powerless gods. You know, they believed in a lot of gods with a little g.
Okay.
Back all in right. the Old Testament. They had all these statues and, you know, all these different gods that a lot of these different religions would look to. But we know that there is only one true and living God.
Okay. So you said little g and big g is going to show up in this
Absolutely.
Particular chapter.
Yes.
And then I think you also going to see, Lady Kim, how this wealth, and we talked about Jacob having wealth and having prestige and authority and power, and how God caused him to prosper even in a situation that looked like it was going against him. God did not desert him. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so what the Bible is really helping us to understand here, and we'll probably stop at chapter 31, is helping us to understand that even back then, God was concerned about the totality of man, and that he was concerned about empowerment. He was concerned about wealth, and he was concerned about how we should be complete in terms of what he has given us. And for us, if we be proper stewards of the manifold blessings of God, that he will continue to prosper us.
Amen. That's
and
right.
I think part of what we have already shared, if we get a good grasp of Genesis, it'll help unfold a lot of what happens in the remaining portions of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree?
That's right.
And then it gives clarity to what happens even in the New Testament. But we have to, first of all, understand the beginnings and how God began to move and how he was working. Because some of the same schemes and some of the same tricks of the enemy that happened back then still takes place today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things about the Bible, as you said, it was not written concurrently or
right.
succinctly or, right. you know, in order.
Mm-hmm.
This happened, then this happened, and then this happened. It jumps around and it gives different scenarios and, you know, different accounts. And so, you know, if we understand Genesis, then we understand a lot about the Bible, as you said.
Okay.
But chapter 31. The focus is on Jacob's return to the promised land.
So he did go back.
He did go back.
Okay.
He's going back.
He's released.
Yes.
Okay.
The promise of God was for blessing, offsprings, and land. On Jacob's journey, remember running from Esau, a dream from God that he had commanded him to return to the land of promise for blessings, offsprings, and land.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob was now rich. Remember how he got rich? All right. And Laban was against him. Now
right.
Laban is mad.
He's
at
mad.
Him.
He's got attitude.
Yes. It was time for Jacob to go. Because he's become, you know, he had his uncle's house, his father-in-law's house. He's gotten all these flock, you know, increased in riches and wealth. So now it's time for him to go. Jacob and his family had to leave. Laban had a dream telling him not to harm or even speak to Jacob.
Wow.
Someone had stolen Laban's household god.
Little G. Okay.
And he wanted them back.
Hmm.
Unaware that Rachel, Jacob's wife, had stolen them. Jacob had told Laban that whoever took them should die. because Jacob didn't know who took it either.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel hid the gods under the saddle she sat on, pretending she could not walk and needed to ride a horse. The conclusion was,
what's that, wrong with them back there, Reverend? They all coming up with some kind of
scheme.
Yeah. She ain't like she can't walk now.
Yeah. The conclusion was that neither Laban or Jacob would cross the boundary they set, and Jacob's journey home continued. So we're going to see all of that. You know, there are kind of two or three different, you know, parts to this 31st chapter.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
You know.
So that first part, what is it kind of really focuses on?
Well, it talks about, tells us that that God tells Jacob to move back to Canaan, and secretly leaves with his family.
Okay. So he takes both of his wives back.
He takes his wife. He takes all his stuff.
Sons, and he had a daughter.
Sons, concubines, right. All his riches, everything. He packed them up and started heading back to Canaan.
So he's a rich man.
He's a rich man.
And Laban figures out that something is missing out of his out of all of the things that he treasured in his house. It's like almost like in a china cabinet where you know you got something special in there that if it's missing, you know, it's not, you don't miss it until it's missing.
Until it's gone.
Until it's gone.
Yeah.
And Laban looked up one day and he noticed that some of the things, some of his prized little gods with a little G was missing. And we don't know the actual rationale behind Rachel's deception,
mm-hmm.
but she took them probably for security. She may have took them for personal reasons that was attached to her living in the house, but she took those little gods and she sat on them and put them under her saddle. Is that right?
That's correct. And the strange thing about it is Laban went after them to get the gods back,
mm-hmm.
not to get his daughters or his grandchildren. He went after those little G's, little gods,
right,
that someone had stolen from his house.
So he missed the whole point altogether, right?
I guess
what he
did.
Was going after. I'm trying to develop something, and now somebody probably catching it, because many times we can put more stock in the things of the world than we can of the things of God.
Absolutely.
And end up missing out on the blessing that God has for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Jacob makes his move,
mm-hmm.
and he secretly leaves. That's the first part of this. And Laban takes chase after them. Is that right?
Right.
So what happens after that, Lady Kim, after Laban tries to chase them down?
Okay, Laban chases after Jacob. It's around verse 22 in this 31st chapter. Laban did not learn about the flight of his daughters and the family for 3 days.
3 days.
Yeah, he noticed the gods gone, but he didn't notice
his family was gone.
Right.
His daughters or his grandkids.
Right. So then he set out in pursuit of them.
Hot pursuit.
Yep.
He was mad.
He was upset.
He had that serious attitude.
Yep.
All right.
But then he had a dream.
Okay.
He had
God
a dream.
God
didn't
work on him or speak to him.
And God appeared to him to tell him to watch what he says to Jacob, either good or bad.
All right.
You know, he said not giving him a blessing or not to curse him, Jacob, and not going from peace to bitterness.
Wow.
So he tells Laban, hey, you better cool your jets, bro.
Settle down.
Don't
Center
get
yourself.
Mad at him. Yeah.
And don't go out there cursing and fussing and fighting and acting a fool, because that's going to have something to do with how you handle what you've already received as a result of the blessing that I've given you.
Mm-hmm.
And all too often, Lady Kim, I think people misuse and abuse what God has given them, and they end up losing what God has given them because of they don't properly manage and they're not good stewards of what God has bestowed upon them. And so many times we, just like Laban, go chasing after things and not after the thing that God would have us the godly things that God would have us to chase after. We have to chase after God. We need to chase after God and not after things.
Sister Loretta has a good point. She said Laban was chasing after the wrong God.
That's right.
He
That's
was.
Right.
He was chasing after the little G God, not the, the big G God. Okay. That's right.
Okay.
So, you know, when Laban really seemed to want to know why Jacob had stolen his idols once he caught up with him. He didn't want to know about the children, the grandchildren, you know, Rachel.
The cattle, the herds, none of that.
None of that. All he wanted to know was what happened to the idols.
So he assumed that Jacob had stolen them.
He had assumed Jacob had stolen them, yes.
Okay.
But Jacob explained that he sneaked away because he was afraid of Laban taking his daughters from him by force. So he was really... Laban thought Jacob had left, you know, snuck away because he had stolen the idols. But Jacob explained to him, no, I really snuck away because I'm taking your family away from you.
Okay.
So Jacob didn't know that Rachel had taken Laban's household items. And he said he would give them back if he had them, and said a curse would be upon anyone who took the idols. That's when he said, you know, let them die.
Right.
Laban searched the tents thoroughly, going into Rachel's tent, but could not find the idols. He seemed more interested in the idols than his daughters and their families.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, yeah. And see, and then Rachel told them that she was with child.
Right,
And
She was with child for what's his name?
Joseph,
right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. And so, so that part of it has to do with the search for the stolen idols, and what happened after that? Did he find them?
Not that I don't recall. Let me see. I'm not sure he did.
Probably
find
around
them.
Verse 41. He told Laban that he had worked. He began to explain to Laban all that he had done and the sacrifice that he had made and how he had even took reduced wages by 10 times and that he would not even dare to think to take idols from him because he had made all the necessary sacrifices in order for him to get to where he wanted so he could leave. But he had to sneak away because he was fearful of what Laban would do to him.
Yeah, but and Jacob continued by telling Laban that, you know, if it had not been for God's grace.
That's right.
The
that's
God
right.
of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his father, he would have been sent away without a penny to his name.
Right, right.
Jacob then told Laban that God had seen his cruelty and his hard work, and that was why he appeared to God the night before.
Okay, okay. So they begin, I think this is where Laban and Jacob, they strike a deal.
Yeah.
And they begin to bargain about how they were going to, well, let's try to find a compromise with this whole situation.
Right, right. So, you know, Laban responds to Jacob by telling him that the women were his daughters and that the children are his and that these flocks and all that Jacob had was his.
Okay.
Therefore, he could not harm his daughters and his grandchildren.
Right, right.
So this is where Laban suggested a peace pact.
Okay.
So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a monument.
Okay. And what happened after that? Because we're closing out this, and our time is getting away from us.
He told his men to gather the stones and make a heap, and Jacob and Laban ate together beside the pile of rocks. Laban told Jacob that if he were harsh to his daughters or to take other wives, he would not know, but God would see it. And so that's when they built the pillar of the altar there with the stones piled up. And that was a witness that each would not cross it to do the other harm.
Okay, okay.
So Laban then said he would call upon the God of Abraham and Nahor and their father to destroy either one of them who did cross that boundary.
Right.
So Jacob took an oath before God to respect the boundary line. Jacob presented a sacrifice to God at the top of the mountain, invited his companions to a feast, and spent the night with them on the mountain. Early the next morning, Laban kissed his daughters and his grandchildren, blessed them, and returned home. So I guess the overarching theme for this is trust God when leaving one's life behind to begin again.
That's good. That's good. So it's important for us to understand that, because Laban, he was filled with rage, and he was on a mission to do harm. And God spoke to him, calmed him, told him to be cool, and realize what God had done for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times in an act of rage or in a moment of frustration, we can end up losing everything that God has blessed us with, because we act out of character and we're not listening to the voice of God.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, a lot of times that's how we lose things.
That's
because
right.
We lose it.
Right.
And when we lose it, we lose all sensibility.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
We don't think rationally. You know, we let the enemy come in and start to
cause havoc.
Wreak havoc,
yeah,
yes.
That's right.
And cause right. confusion. And, you know, the devil will make you start thinking all kind of crazy stuff. You know, you get one little idea, and if you ponder on it long enough, it'll turn into another idea, and it'll turn to hatred.
Bitterness.
And, yes, and then
envy,
you're in
a
whole different realm of anger.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so we have to be careful and mindful of making sure that we are obedient to what God requires of us. And we have to be mindful of what the enemy tries to do. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's coming to take away. He's coming to cause confusion. He's coming to hinder us from getting to the place. And like in Jacob's case, he's tried to hinder him from getting to the promised land. So is he trying to hinder us from getting to the place of blessing that God has already destined for our lives?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, Lady Kim, our time is getting away from us, but that's chapter 31 and 32. And next
30
week.
30 and 31.
30 and 31. What did I say? 31 and 32? That's 30 and 31 that we've covered tonight. And we can start out with 32 on next week. Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just go ahead and read through 35, chapter 35. We're not going to. Lady Kim looking at me cross-eyed now and say, what? We're not going to probably get to 35, but we're going to be pushing toward that direction on
yeah.
next week.
And it's always good to read ahead. You
mm-hmm.
know, even if we don't get there, you'll know what to expect, because we don't read line by line. You know, we just summarize
That's right.
the chapters
right.
so we can get through them.
Okay.
And hopefully you're getting a great understanding or a good understanding of what's going on in each one of the chapters that we summarize.
Okay. All right. Well, let's stop right there for tonight, Lady Kim. Anything else you want to share with us? Anything we need to be aware of? We know a Good Friday service is this Friday.
Yes, I'm excited.
Noon.
12 noon.
I know it's going to be powerful. It's a virtual service. But all of our speakers are going to be in the sanctuary, and they're going to come in different segments before they preach. And what you will actually see would be a live feed, not something recorded, but it's going to be actually live presented during that time that you are watching it. And so we hope many of you can tune in and be a part of it. We have an exciting lineup like we do always. Lady Kim yielded this time to allow some of the, and we've got some others who have never been a part of this seven last words before. That's going to really be a blessing to us, and we're looking forward to it. Part of what we've done in the past is tried to use first ladies or reverends or pastors, but we've extended it a little bit this year. And we have one of our very own, Tierra Baker. I believe she's going to do an excellent job. And
mm-hmm. Minister Tierra.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And she's going to stand tall and represent, as well as all of the others who are on the list, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so we're looking forward to that. And we're looking forward to Resurrection Sunday. And this is Holy Week. We're in the midst of our fast, and we're closing it out Sunday. But we praise God for each of you, and we praise God for our ATOP Church family. And we look forward to when we can come together again soon in-house with worship. Isn't that right?
That's right. I'm excited.
All right.
Yes. We also want to remind you that we will have our leadership meeting on this coming Saturday at 10 a.m. So we're looking for all of our leaders. You will get a Zoom link for that. And we want for you to list any prayer requests at this time. We only have a minute or so left, if I'm not mistaken, but we want to lift up any prayer requests. We know that we want you to lift up prayers for Sister Dorothy Thomas in the loss of her brother Charlie Murphy, that those arrangements are pending. And also lift up our dear member, Sister Georgia Cooper Bell, and the loss of her husband, our ATOP member, Brother Tommy Bell, who transitioned to be with the Lord on Saturday evening. So lift up the Bell family in your prayers as they prepare for his service, and we will send information on the services as soon as we find out all the information.
All right. Well, we praise God for each of you tonight, and we praise God for the prayer requests again. Brother Andre, our good friend and brother, and his wife, Angela, in Flint, Michigan. I believe they had to travel to
Ann Arbor
or Battle Creek. Was it, which one was
I don't
it?
Know.
It was one of the cities there in Michigan. Just let us know where that was as we prepare to close out. But they were traveling this weekend to get this test, and the test came back negative. Is that right? And so we're excited about that praise report tonight. And we praise God for them. We've already had prayer with them even before, once we found out. We called and had prayer. That was last Monday, too,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, it was last week.
And so we know what prayer can do.
Yes, Lord.
And so we praise God for, the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous indeed availeth much.
Avails much. All Detroit, right. Henry Ford Hospital.
Okay, they had to go to Detroit. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Sister Angela.
All right. Will you close us out tonight, Lady Kim?
Sure. God, we thank you tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you are worthy to be praised. God, we thank you for the praise report tonight of how you are so good, God. We thank you for Brother Andre and
yes,
the good report, God.
Yes, God.
Whose report do we believe? We believe the report of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And so we thank you, oh God, for his healing. We thank you, God, for doctors and medicine, God. We thank you, God, for lab results and testing. We thank you, God, for allowing man, oh God, the expertise to know just what to do,
yes,
in order to get
God.
To the root
yes,
of the
God.
Problem.
Yes, God.
And then, God, we lift up the bereaved families to you, God. We lift up Sister Dorothy Thomas. We lift up our Sister Georgia Bell, God, and her family to
yes,
you, God.
Yes, God,
in their time of bereavement. Comfort them and keep them, God, as they prepare for the services that are to come, to lay their loved one to their final rest. We thank you, oh God, for this opportunity to share your word on tonight. We ask, oh God, that this word be as seed and fertile soil to our souls, God, that it might obtain nourishment and grow and be everything that you would have it to be, in order that our lives are better as a result. We thank you, and as we go into this week, God, we pray a mighty blessing upon the
mighty
services
blessing.
On Friday, God. The Good Friday services, God, we
yes,
ask that you
God.
Would breathe upon it, God.
Breathe on it.
Oh, God, we ask that a mighty a move of your spirit happen
mighty release.
Over the airwaves, God, and in that sanctuary,
yes,
God. We ask
yes,
that
God.
Your power be felt like never before.
Hallelujah.
We pray for the individual preachers right now, God,
call
in the
name.
Word as
thank
they
you,
prepare, God.
God.
And we thank you for it right now, God, and we bless your holy name. We love you. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Glory God.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
See you next Monday.
Be blessed.
Bye-bye.